Welcome to our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are continuing our series called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. Today's teaching is a continuation of the topic on angels. So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave continues answering this hard question with a solid answer.
Let view where you stand. Go to Zechariah, it's near the end of the Old Testament there. And in the book of Zechariah, he is having vision after vision. And the angel explains the symbolism of what's going on. And so we can see this as being very symbolic of what's going on here. And so you have a vision of the woman in a basket in verse 5. And it says, "Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, 'Lift your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth.' So I asked, 'What is it?' And he said, 'It is a basket.'" Notice the angel said, and notice it says he there. So it's a guy. "It is a basket that is going forth." And he also said, "This is your resemblance throughout the earth. Here is a lead disc lifted up. And this is a woman sitting inside the basket." And then he said, "This is wickedness." So the woman inside the basket is wickedness, it says. Now, literally, it means the wickedness is what that means. And I believe it speaks of Revelation 17, and this is the woman who rides the beast. This is the harlot that is being spoken of here. And so he thrust her down to the basket, threw a lead cover over its mouth. So it's kept tight there. It is being contained until the proper time. "Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lift up the basket between earth and heaven. So I said to the angel who talked with me, 'Where are they carrying the basket?' And they said to me, 'To build a house for it in the land of Shinar,'" which is Babylon, "where it is ready. The basket will be set there on its base," which means a foundation, that this thing is going to be set in place for a later date. And so people will say, "What about these two women coming with wind in their wings? For they have the wings like the wings of a stork. Aren't these female angels? Because they have wings." Just because they have wings doesn't make them an angel. Much like, you know, Alcatraz has a beach doesn't mean it's a resort. Okay? So just because it has wings does not mean it is an angel, for one. For two, wings like a stork, as. So it doesn't literally have the wings of a stork. There's a simile there. And the interesting thing is that it says like a stork. A stork is an unclean animal. Is an unclean bird when you read about this in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And so Leviticus 11:19, Deuteronomy 14:18 refers to the stork as an unclean bird. We find passages in God's word that represents evil or demonic influences when it comes to birds. Matthew 13:4, Revelation 18:2. And so it just is speaking of evil. It does not mean that these are angels. And it doesn't mean that at all. And if they are, they'd be the bad kind, okay? Because it represents evil. And so, again, this woman in the basket, she's being taken to the land of Babylon. That's who the harlot is in Revelation 17, and that's a different discussion altogether. And so this would be the only place that someone wants to say, "Well, I think these are angels." Well, if they are, they're not real good ones. I personally don't think they are. I never will build a doctrine or a possibility on one verse. If there's other verses, it's kind of like, okay, there's something to it. But God's word defines God's word. And so we would have to look at other places. Okay, if that's a possibility, where else? Nowhere. And again, that word angel, especially in the New Testament, always speaks in the masculine, is what that always means. Here's a question. Do we have guardian angels? How many people here think we have guardian angels? Raise your hand. See, a lot of you are just afraid to raise your hand because you think I'm going to say, no, there's not. But you know what? There's a possibility there are. So in Matthew 18, go to Matthew 18. He's talking about the little children. When he's talking about the little children here. It says in verse 3, and assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted, become as a little child or children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. In verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were drowned in the depths of the sea. And so he's warning, do not offend, do not stumble children from coming to know me. And then he says, in verse 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So people look at that and say, well, there's possibility that there could be guardian angels. We see angels that are constantly helping out God's people. Could it be that that's their angel and things like that? It's a possibility, but there's nowhere that definitely says that you have an actual angel assigned to you. But I wouldn't say no to that just because of what I read here. I just go, it's interesting. But here's the thing. Let's say you do have a guardian angel. You don't call upon him. You're not to find out his name. You won't know his name, okay? You are to pray to God. You are to have a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. You're not supposed to have a relationship with any other angelic being, okay? And so if you do, you're not going to know it until you're up in heaven, you know? If I'm up in heaven, I do have a couple questions for my guardian angel, if he is really there. Has been assigned to me. He's missed a few assignments, if you ask me, of times that I've gotten into trouble, gotten hurt, whatever it might be. So they're probably not perfect beings, if that's the case. But there's a possibility when you read that, you know, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. It shouldn't be something you're adamant about. And if you're passionate about your guardian angel, that passion is misguided. You should not be passionate about your guardian angel. You should be passionate about God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The passion and that love is misplaced if you do. Some early church fathers believed that each person not only had a good angel assigned to him or her, but a demon as well. The belief of guardian angels has been around for a long time, but there is no explicit scriptural basis for it. Like I said, that's the only place that I can find that that's a possibility. So again, I would not base a doctrine on that. That there is. Look at this verse. Okay, show me another one. Well, I can't. There needs to be more. Because God's word interprets God's word. Is there an angel of death? A lot of times we think that there's an angel of death. The angel of death is known as Samael, as well as Sarel, as Azrael in Judaism. Malak Amwat in Islam. Yama or Yamaraj in Hinduism, or the Grim Reaper in popular fiction, but that never really comes from any sort of religion, mostly from mythology and things like that. The understanding here is that this being comes to you at the moment of death. And so is there a particular angel that has been given that title, angel of death? We don't find that anywhere in God's word. Now, if you're like me, the first thing you're thinking of when I was thinking about this is going, well, about Exodus chapter 12, the Passover. Didn't the angel of death pass over? Go to Exodus chapter 12. Never once does it even say it's an angel. And just so you know, I'm pretty sure I've said that before. Well, you know, when the angel of death passes over, and then, but when you look at it, it doesn't say the angel. It says the Lord. In talking about the Passover here, it says in verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood and the lintel on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over and the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. So there is a name there, the destroyer. So if you want to talk about an angel of death, it might be called the destroyer. But the word angel of death isn't there. Before that, in verse 11, it said, it is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on the night. I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I'll execute judgment. I am the Lord. So if you want to call it something, you might be able to call it the destroyer, but there is no title angel of death that we see in God's word. Even though we do know, like I said before, in 2 Kings 19, that one angel did put to death 185 Syrian 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. We just don't know if it's the same angel that always does something like that. So, you do know there are bad angels, right? They're called demons. They're Satan's minions. In Ezekiel 28, why don't you go back to Ezekiel? Ezekiel 28. These are the two big scriptural areas that speak about Satan himself. And when you read chapter 28, it seems like God is pronouncing judgment on the king of Tyre, which he is. But then he stops speaking to the king of Tyre and he begins to judge the power behind the king of Tyre. And the reason we know that is because it says in verse 11, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you are the seal of perfection." When was any human being ever the seal of perfection besides Adam? "Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden in the garden of God." When was the king of Tyre ever in Eden? It wasn't. "Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, the emerald, the gold." This is your covering. This is the way he shined. This is kind of, he was radiant of who he was. "You were the," it says, "the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you in the day that you were created. You were the anointed," what does it say there? "Cherub. Who covers?" You're the anointed man. You're given it all. No one shined as bright as you. And you were given these timbrels and pipes. That means he was able to make wonderful music. "I establish you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You are perfect in your ways from the days you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor." It was all about him, your beauty, your splendor. "I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you." I want you to go to, now just to the left there, to Isaiah 14. We get a little glimpse of the attitude of Satan that caused his downfall. In verse 12 of Isaiah 14, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who waken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven." Here's the five I wills of Satan. This is pride. "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." See, that's what got him to fall, is his pride. Isn't it interesting that he used that same tactics with Eve and Adam in the garden there? "Don't you know if you eat of the fruit, you will be like God?" Just like he says, "I want to be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms?" You know, when we're in our glorified bodies and we're in heaven and we finally see Satan taken and cast into the pit, we're going to see him not in his prideful, glorified form. We're going to see him as nothing. We're going to look at him and go, "This is the guy that caused all the problems? Are you kidding me?" You know? It's probably that time that I say, "Lord, I just want 5 minutes with him. Just 5 minutes. In my glorified body. Not in this one. Let him know how disappointed I've been with him in my whole life." But we're going to look upon him and go, "This is the guy? He's the one that made the earth tremble and shake? This is who we were afraid of?" He won't be too impressive then. Right now, he's a formidable foe. You don't, you know, tangle with him without the Lord leading that charge. So how did this all happen? Well, in Revelation chapter 12, again, shoot over to the very last book of the Bible, chapter 12, we get a little bit of an insight here. It says in verse 3 of chapter 12, it says, "And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, was ready to give birth, devour her child as she was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to the God and his throne." And then look what it says in verse 7, "A war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there found in them heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So this taking a third with him, this speaks of Satan. This speaks he took a third of the angels with him, and that's his demonic host that he has. There are not any more demons being made or angels being made that we can see in God's word. They don't propagate. And so we just know that there are 10,000 upon 10,000 innumerable amount of angels. To take a third of that still is a lot. But remember, it's still God and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity, and two-thirds of their angels. And so Satan has always been outnumbered, and they're outmatched anyway. It's not as though Satan is equal with God in any way, shape, manner, or form. It's a huge, mighty, glorified, all-powerful God and an itty-bitty Satan. This is taken from Ron Rhodes' article evaluating today's angel craze. Angels are very popular today. There are angel boutiques. There's angel newsletters and magazines. There are angel seminars. So you can go so that you may make contact with your guardian angel. That is not from the Lord. And I guarantee you will not make contact with your guardian angel. You'll make contact with an angel, but he really doesn't want your best. That would be a demon. There are angel t-shirts, angel jewelry, angel calendars. In 1993, and this is a while ago, 5 of the 10 best-selling books were about angels. Time Magazine conducted a poll, and 69% of American adults believed in angels. New Agers are fanatical about angels, which to them is synonymous with spirit guides. They would tell you that angels offer people a spirituality that does not involve commitment to the narrow views of God and his laws. Sophie Burnham, author of A Book of Angels, believes the current popularity of angels is because we have created this concept of God that is punitive, jealous, judgmental, while angels never are. They are utterly compassionate. Or as Time Magazine puts it, "For those who choke too easily on a God and his rules, angels are the handy compromise, all fluff and meringue, kind, non-judgmental, and they're available to everyone like aspirin." New Age author Terry Lynn Taylor says, "These angels make life worth living, so to speak. They provide us with unconditional happiness, fun, and mirth. They also help with romance and wealth. They help us extinguish worries that plague our lives." It's just rainbows and lollipops, folks. It's great. She also continues, says, "Angels are heaven-sent agents who are always available to help you create heaven in your life." And so there are hundreds, if not thousands, of books written on this, of how to contact your own personal angel. This happens with channeling, where this person who is a medium will contact your spirit guide or angel of your choosing, and then that entity will speak through them to you. They tell you to pray to your angel. They tell you to meditate and visualize. This will take you to an altered state of consciousness, which will allow you to meet and make contact with your angel. Crystals are a way to make contact with your angel. Writing letters. You write to your angel and then wait with a pad of paper for your angel to speak to you, then write it down. That's called demon possession, by the way. All right. And then it says you can also wear the right colors. Another way you can make contact with an angel is to wear the right colors. Guardian angels allegedly like rose or pink and soft green. Healing angels like deep sapphire blue. Seraphim angels like crimson red. Cherubim angels like blue. The Archangel Michael likes deep green, vivid blue, gold, and rose. Gabriel is attracted to tans, browns, and dark greens. In New Age literature, we are told that angels are there to give us spiritual guidance, to help us grow in wisdom and love, so that we are growing what we were always intended to be, perfected beings capable of incredible energies, immense and transforming love. Then you will be an ascended master who is super evolved and have ascended to the higher plane of existence from which they now assist others to evolve like them. These angels are also very goal-oriented and will tell you how to achieve your goals, bring you comfort, and be your co-pilot if you ever need to take the controls of your life. There they are to do so. Again, demon possession. And so there's this faulty assumption that angels are all good. There's this faulty assumption that they're good, and so if an angel speaks to you, it must be a good angel. But as once was said, not everything that glitters is gold. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, we're told this by Paul, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And his demons transform themselves into ministers of the gospel." False shepherds are going to come from within. They are wolves in what? Sheep's clothing. They're going to look like us. They're going to sound like us. And we're told in John 10:10 that Satan is a liar and a murderer, and he tries to rip off the children of God. Paul also said in 2 Corinthians 11, "For I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, then I present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Paul was concerned about the people there in Corinth. I'm going, that's great, you've accepted the gospel, but there's something that isn't deep about your walk with the Lord. You're not growing the way you should. You need to have a deeper relationship with God, because I got to tell you, yeah, I presented with you with the gospel, but I'm not so sure that if someone came with a different gospel, you wouldn't go after that as well, that you would listen to the person. Anything that leads you away from worshiping the God of the Bible is a doctrine of a demon. The Apostle Paul warned against accepting another gospel from an angel in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he says this, "I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel." He's amazed. He has spent time with them. He has poured into them. They know the word of truth, and yet someone else comes along and they begin to entertain that. And he says, "Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven," he says, "preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached you, let him be accursed. And as I've said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed." Even an angel, he says. Could it be, possibly, that God somehow knew that many, many religions would have startups because that person thought he was being visited by an angel? Never can the powers of darkness,
neither death nor even life. That concludes this Thursday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune in tomorrow as Pastor Dave continues the series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30, and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45. please be sure to bring a side dish to share. And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.